This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard, given on the 26th of July, 1966. The title of this lecture is Classification Chart and Auditing. This tape is 66 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
This is the 26th of July, AD 16. Auditing means to listen and compute. It also means to get a result on a PC. And it's done in a subject called Scientology. And one sits down, usually, except in one series of processes known as the CCHs, and he has a pre-clear. That is somebody who isn't clear. Now, in view of the fact that this person isn't clear, he has to be handled rather gently because he has aberrations and difficulties. And it requires auditing done in a technical and professional manner, which has not departed from standard procedure. You see, they have always had offbeat processing of one kind or another. It has existed since the earliest days of Wagdam. There is no reason to perpetuate it. The psychoanalyst. I beg your pardon, it's rather obvious pronunciation. He sits down and does something with a person too. But there is no similarity between what he's doing and what a Scientologist is doing. Now, a Scientologist is trying to make the person better. And that is a new idea in the whole field of the human mind. It is so new and novel, they think we are terrible because we do not electric shock and execute people. Our situation does not compare with earlier activities, laughingly called psychotherapy, or pure duress, medieval torture, police action, and other things which have passed for mental therapy down through the ages. We're not even in the field of mental therapy. We're trying to make somebody clear. Clear of what? Clear of his reactive bank. Now, Freud said the man had an unconscious or a reconscious or something of the sort which was subconscious under the underconscious. He thought there was something there, and it was inhabited by a beast known as the censor who kept the fellows from pulling social faux pas. And when the censor was asleep or nulled or something of the sort by drugs, why, the fellow would do antisocial action. That was the whole explanation of the human mind, except it was all caused by sex. I hope you're following me closely. But anyhow, we are actually indebted to Papa Freud because he did say out loud that there was some kind of a mind that was kicking back on somebody. He didn't really discover the reactive mind. We did. Now, clearing somebody is erasing his reactive mind. All of his horrible, bestial, and antisocial about a person is actually contained in his reactive mind. But we are also not interested in the man whether he's horrible, antisocial, or bestial. This, again, has nothing to do with auditing. Auditing is not a social criticism. You'll notice nearly all psychotherapies are involved in social criticism. The psychiatrist exists for the, quote, good of the society, unquote, and to hell with the patient. That is the way he operates. Now, therefore, we're into a new field. And we know the answers to the way a pre-clear behaves. Not human beings behave. We know the answers to those two, but who cares? The difference between a good-behaving log and a bad-behaving log is so slight as to be undetectable. I've seen dear old ladies ruining their families and driving them straight to suicide and so forth and being patted on the back on Mother's Day. I've seen some of the wildest social mishmashes. It's all by definition. If you kill a man, why, that isn't bad or good. It's by definition bad or good. You kill him in war, or you kill him because he deserves it, or you kill him because he's a criminal and you're a judge or something like that. Why, that's good. See? But if you kill him 1 inch of type outside the statute and so forth, that's bad. See? So there are good things and bad things, but they both are the same thing. So if you want to get into this morass of social behavior, by all means, do so. But don't mix it up with Scientology. Now, you can tell why a person conducts himself as he does. Why a person conducts himself as he does. Good. I'm glad we can. But we don't care. Because there is a certain road out. Scientology is a way. It is the road out. Away from reactivity, away from aberration, away from identification of A equals A equals A. And it increases a person's ability, and it increases his general performance in existence to a very marked and fantastic degree. And that road out has certain little milestones that you have to pass to get out. For want of a better definition, we call these grades. But there are things called levels. And now if we look at the classification, gradation, and awareness chart of levels and certificates, first one issued, and the modern one which is about to be issued, since the interim issue of early 1966 dropped several points off this chart that were vital to it and made it relatively unworkable, and which won't be dropped again. I came back home in time. Now, the point here is that there are certain points on this that a person goes up toward clear. And those points have certain definite abilities regained. But these grades are not really composed of single points, something that you might not have noticed, even you working with grades. They are not composed of single points. Now, this is the rough public rendition. Public rendition. And this is not likely to change. This is the public rendition. Grade zero, communications. Grade 1, problems. Grade 2, overts and withholds. Grade 3, ARC breaks. Grade 4, service facsimiles. Grade 5, as an actual fact, a whole track grade. But it is the more innocent end of it. It gets a fellow up to where he can confront whole track. And then we've got grade 6, which is unburdening a reactive mind, which really is whole track. Except you don't have to address it at either point, which is quite interesting and mysterious about it all. It sort of drops between 5 and 6 and gets ignored these days, but every once in a while, a piece of whole track bangs somebody right in the snoot, and he doesn't quite know what hit him. And he says, "What was that? I seem to be sitting here in a space car, and we seem to be shooting up toward some planet of some kind or another. We seem to be delivering an atom bomb or something. I'm not sure what." And, I get it. No, it exploded. Yeah. I wonder what that's all about. I guess I've been reading too much science fiction. And people should ask, why does science fiction have the command on its audience? It does. I never looked at that side of it. And then we get level 7, which contains the materials necessary to totally erase the reactive mind. And I want to point out to you that it is really not possible. People will try this, and as we go up the line, the only wreckage we will find is people who have tried to enter this whole problem up in the upper grades, ignoring the lower grades. That you will find is the main part of the catastrophes. The other part of the catastrophe is simply not following standard technology. What is standard technology? Standard technology is contained in HCOBs. It actually isn't contained in any of the books of Dianetics and Scientology. Do you realize that? Modern technology is not contained in any of the hardcover books or any of the other books. It's contained in HCOBs, Covered Communications Office bulletins. And they just run off one after the other. And one of these fine days, I suppose we will roll up our sleeves and publish them all in consecutive order, all corrected so that nothing ever corrects anything in the bulletins that make it very, very easy. But we will have to put them probably in about 7 or 8 or 10 different volumes because there are quite a few of them. But that's standard technology. They're on white paper printed with red ink. If I haven't signed it, it isn't true. And that's standard technology. Now, because we developed something later, we didn't lose the standard technology of something earlier. The main bugbear of the person studying Scientology, the bugbear was his, not mine, was that he conceived every time he read something new that that wiped out all the old. And this concept was brought about on just this one point, that he didn't understand the old that he had read, so he didn't realize that it integrated with the new which had just been issued. And at no time, really, in HCOBs has the new wiped out the old. There are very, very few corrections. I remember trying to correct a whole series of processes one time called the R2s, R212. It was R210, R212. And I corrected all these because they seemed to be just producing havoc. They seemed to be terribly ruinous. And there was only one thing wrong with them, is they made a release at their grade so fast that the auditor never noticed. He'd start his list, practically, and he had a release sitting in front of him. But, of course, he wanted to earn his pay, and that was before we knew about overruns. So he would go on and run it, and run it, and run it. And for quite a while, it had produced quite phenomenal results, even being overrun. But suddenly, clank, the person would go straight into the bank with it, and that was very upsetting. So the idea of overrun and how flat is a flat process and so forth does require correction in HCLBs. But there's nothing in an HCLB, nothing in any HCLB, that tells you you mustn't audit the PC. You look there in vain and you won't find any place in there. I've got the Cahill course on running engrams as a practice action, and I think you must be having a ball. I think possibly, much to your consternation, you've made a grade of release here or there that you didn't know existed in the lower bands, and that's probably very upsetting, and that was probably what upset Dianetics, Modern Science, and Mental Health auditors. They were probably making lower levels of release, which they would overrun. But I assure you that you can have a release per chain. So don't go dashing off sideways and trying to get out of facing the engram by going release. He is a secondary about mama's release. That's the grade of release it is, or the level of release. This fellow is a light engram release on the subject of cutting his finger. He's released on cutting a finger. I speak quite seriously. It's just by chains. Now, I, in the first place, would be the last one to plow anybody in, unless he's a student. Now, now, PCs are people, and they're entitled to a break, and they're entitled to rapid gains, and they're entitled to soar and go right straight on up to clear, and all that. This we know. But that doesn't apply to a student. You know, in opera, they always say that the individual, the opera singer, really never has tonal quality or feeling in her voice until she has suffered. And after some great suffering in life, why, she becomes a great artist. Have you ever heard that? Well, after you've had it a few times, you'll become a great auditor. I wouldn't give anything for an auditor who hadn't occasionally been wrapped around a telegraph pole. But good, like a pretzel. I wouldn't give anything for an auditor who hadn't had an ARC break while being audited for the next 10 or 15 hours and going into a sad effect. Then he'd know what it was, you know? I know this is brutal, even sadistic, but it isn't. It isn't an actual fact. It's a complete fact. The fellow's never been overrun on anything. He certainly is never going to be shy being overrun. It's outside of his zone of experience. Right now, what the PC's all upset about, of course I missed a free needle, but what's the PC upset about? Should depreciate it. I gave an additional 15 hours of auditing. An auditor isn't worth much unless sometime or another he's audited over the top of a PTP. You actually owe it to yourself professionally and to WOGS and what it's all about to sit down someday as the PC and just don't announce the fact that you're worried as Prince about a PTP. Of course, you'll get no gains, you'll feel terrible, and so forth, being audited on that. I'm not advocating bad auditing for the sake of experience. But I am saying that if you do very much auditing, you can't help but get some bad auditing now and then. And it's not necessarily disastrous. I have had some of the lousiest auditing anybody ever heard of. I've been audited by Dianetic auditors who were trained in an academy which taught only the bubble theory. I used to get away with it by saying, well, I just would do exactly what the auditor said. And this got me through many, many years. But in 1958, I found an auditor who gave me 4 auditing commands simultaneously, didn't let me answer any one of them, and so forth, and then wouldn't tell me which one I was supposed to answer. Quite a dog fight. So even that stable datum vanished on me. I've had some very good auditing, and I have had some championship bad auditing. And I'm moving right on up. We checked out here in a few days, clear. Now, what's all this about? It is a command of a thing called the mind. Now, maybe after you're clear, maybe after you go OT and so forth, you won't then really care to understand anything about man and just regard him as a sort of an oddity that sometimes gets under your feet. But in actual fact, that's a rather dangerous attitude. You should rather savvy what this character's all about. Now, believe me, there isn't anything going to help him. Education, psychotherapy with electrodes, brainectomies. That's the new psychiatric operation to take out the whole brain. There isn't anything going to help an aberrated being. I assure you, there's nothing going to help an aberrated being but processing. He can sweat it out educationally and so forth. Now, I'm talking about his state of case, his behavior, and so forth. Really, you're not going to get any place short processing. So you better know that processing is a very narrow little track, a very, very narrow little track. Bounded on both sides and above and below by a complete mass of improper things that can be done. It would be impossible to list the number of wrong things that could be done in auditing. It would be an infinite list. Every time I'd think I had it all straightened out and nobody could possibly make any additional errors of any kind whatsoever, on wood. So this track called standard technology is a very, very narrow path. And it's very easy to stray off of its edges. And one of the ways of straying off of its edges is to forget to handle PCs while auditing them. And I see what has happened here and why we have fallen into not handling PCs anymore. Because obviously all the ways you handle PCs are contained in the grades of release, aren't they? So of course you can't handle PCs overt if you're running a communication process. Naturally. It'd be beyond this grade. And of course you can't handle an ARC break while auditing a communication process, because ARC breaks and so forth are up here at 3 and 4. And I think that's how you've gotten into it, but you sure have gotten into it. You can always run an advanced process on a PC as a rudiment, as something to straighten the case out in a hurry. He isn't about to go release on it. But the day you sit down to make and attain a grade zero, the day you sit down to audit that person and do not detect or note that he has a present time problem, is a day you will have or lose as a case. That guy isn't going any place. You're auditing over the top of a heavy PTP. That present time problem's got it parked right there. Bang, bang. You say, is there anything you'd be willing to talk to me about? Well, I have some problems. Well, I'm sorry. Can't talk about problems because problems are up here. The problems are up here at grade one, and you're only grade zero. Say, I'd shut up about that. Finally, you're running problems, and you're grinding on and on and on about problems, and the PC's getting sadder and sadder and sadder and sadder. And he says, but you're not answering my communications, and you're not acknowledging me, and I've been feeling terrible for the last 38 days. And you say, well, yes, but we can't do anything about that, because, you see, that's grades 3 and 4 is where we handle ARC breaks, and so you just have to keep your ARC breaks until we get up to the grade that it's supposed to be handled at. Of course, the answer to that silliness is the guy is not about to ever get up in grades. Now, let me tell you something about this chart that maybe didn't come home too completely. How did I find this chart? Here's one for you. How did I find this chart? Why is this chart so dead on? This gradation chart, so forth, it's quite a trick. It's made up only of those things which you can't audit in the face of. And that is the genesis of the chart. And that is the real reason I found the grades and why I found the grades, and I isolated them just as crudely as that. I said, all right, there are certain things that if you don't pay attention to them, prevent all progress in auditing. So therefore, they must be the keys to aberration. And that's where we got the gradation chart. Clever of me, wasn't it? People think it's a gradation chart, so people will take it by gradient. Well, they're arranged crudely by gradient, but you'd be surprised how long I argued, was OW an upper grade from problems or a lower grade? and I finally found out that it must be an upper grade because the fellow could confront having problems when he couldn't confront having overt, so therefore that was an upper grade. This was the way the thing had to be rationalized. But there it was. In all those years of experience, and believe me, there have been a lot of years of experience on this subject. A lot of them. In all these years, only these factors have presented themselves. Factors that each one separately, much less in combination, can totally prevent case gain unless given attention. By definition. This is the super barrier. These are the super barriers to the trek. These are the girders across the bridge that have fallen down sideways. And what are these things? Well, it's elementary, the things that a person cannot possibly audit up against. If these things are out, the auditor has had it. He can't go any further. And these things are communication problems, overt IRC break, and service facsimiles. When you've moved the fellow up that far, he can confront something of his own life and background, and so starts moving out on the whole track and moving into the reactive bank itself. But the things that you cannot audit in the presence of, without handling, are the grades on that gradation chart. You see this? So, of course, if they are the things which absolutely stop any PC's progress, then they must be themselves things which desperately require releasing. When I finally figured this out and worked this down and put the process, and I knew already about overrun, we found overrun and doing prompt processes. But when those things were audited on a big basis with the PC, such a thing as his overts, when they were audited on a grand scale, I knew you'd get a release. So I knew you could have a communications release, and I knew you could have a problems release, and I knew you could have an overt release, and I knew you could have an ARC break release. See, dead easy. Nothing to it. That's right. The thing had to be that way because these things were the powerful points in the human mind that debarred all further progress on the part of a case. Well, all a fella had to do was be worried about his wife. All he had to do was be worried about his wife not meeting him that afternoon, which gave him a problem. What am I wife doing afternoons? He comes into session. His tone arm fails to produce action. Nothing is as-ising. He isn't coming out of anything. And even starts climbing a bit. He can't answer the auditing commands. He can concentrate on nothing. That's what a problem will do. Now, this fellow who is in overts, of course, the fellow can't talk to you, can't talk. I wonder if you ever realize, though, that talk goes down to the fact that a patient in the hospital gives you trouble as an auditor if the patient's unconscious. An unconscious patient is out of communication. It's just a communication trouble. But also, I'd like to call to your attention that dogs and horses are out of communication. And I don't know how you're going to solve that, but that's your problem today. I'm not worried about it anymore. But this fellow's committed an overt against the auditor. Or against Scientology or the organization. Or he's trying to get away with something. He's got a withhold. You going to make progress with him? You're just going to get natterier and natterier and choppier and nastier and meaner. But you're not going to make any progress. Not one scrap. I'll tell you a joke. You might not think it's a joke. But do you know that one of the differences of technical accomplishment between St. Hill and a central organization is that a central organization very often gets a PC who doesn't intend to completely pay for his service. That much withhold parks the case right there. This stops it. Now you take an ARC break, this is the most deadly thing that anybody ever had anything to do with. What essentially is it? It's affinity, reality, and communication. Break in. What is break? Bust. Snapped. People get to thinking it's because they weren't acknowledged. Please. You see, there is no term in the English language or in Latin to describe this adequately. So the individual's affinity has been cut. And that's desire and force inhibit. The old CDEI scale, curiosity, desire, and force inhibit, couldn't be on A, and any one of those actions couldn't cause an ARC break. Only it would be called an A break. And R would be over and under reality. Somebody's busted his reality. Where did you put the staircase, Paula? I haven't any staircase. I never saw the staircase. Oh, yes, you did, Paula. I saw you build it with your own little hatchet. A reality break. Again, CDEI. Curiosity, desire, and force inhibit on reality. Enforced reality and so forth. What is laughingly called modern education is mostly enforced reality. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Because, boy, that reality can be in quotes, too. Boy, can it be in quotes. If you're on a really ARC break, somebody with one of the natural sciences, turn him loose in a physics laboratory as a student with the equipment which is commonly furnished and try to get him to get an experiment to come out. You know, they seldom come out. You normally take the best student who is the best student because he has an answer book, and then the rest of the students sort of copy it or often fudge it one way or the other. So the amount of paper burned, the weight of the paper equals the weight of the ash plus the weight of the smoke, you see, showing that nothing is ever destroyed and so on. You get into corny equipment and so forth and you get a reality break. Education quite customarily and routinely breaks somebody's reality, and it breaks the reality sufficiently to make them bad students so they don't want to study or something like that. And then we get into communication break, and of course that's the most visible. The guy talked too much, didn't talk at all. The guy would not answer the communication at all, or the guy answered the communication perpetually so that it couldn't be communicated. Any of those things will cause an ARC break, all right? Look at that. Your first level zero is communication. Level three is ARC break. How many PCs you going to handle at level zero without ever colliding with an error at level three? If C is one of the commonest sources of ARC breaks, you mean to tell me but you're going to handle the subject of communication without ever bringing about or finding an ARC break in the student that has to be handled, huh? Oh, like cat, you're not. You never will in God's green earth, really. There's always got to be somebody around in review or some senior student or something like that to be alert on level zero students. Of course, I know it goes like hot butter and you don't run into trouble very much. But it's that very little trouble that you must also be interested in because it will barrier your results. I know you could go on the basis, well, after all, there are getting to be 3 billion human beings, and that's an awful lot of human beings. It's an awful lot of wads, and there's no reason why we shouldn't expend a few, you see, in the process of salvaging them. Well, now, I'm a conservationist. Well, now, as far as service facsimile is concerned, this fellow's thinking about at the problems level is his lumbosis. Boy, this lumbosis, you can't ever get... Every time you turn around, he's got lumbosis on the brain. His lumbosis is causing him trouble, man. He is just getting lots of trouble from his lumbosis. And then we finally find that level 4 is a certain facsimile. It's what explains all of his failures. He keeps telling he wants to get rid of his lumbosis, but really he never said it in that many words. He merely complains about having lumbosis. Now we begin to understand why we had such a hard time getting problems release on this word. We managed to achieve it, finally, and we did get a free needle, so forth, but we were never very happy about it. Well, in grade 4, we find out that he has a service facsimile. Well, I don't say there is any short method of finding anybody's service facsimile that could be used in general because we're getting too high in the grades. But fortunately, we're passing above the levels of reality of which are real to somebody at the lower grades. And it normally turns up in due course. This merely turns out to be a PC we have always had trouble with. His rudiments were always out or something like that. And then we finally get him up to grade 4 and handle service facsimile, and there we go. Now, at grade 5, we're straightening him out on the subjects of reality, several other subjects which are taken up in a package, but what we're really doing is sort of getting the track straightened out. And we're looking for the points on the track where he is terribly stuck, where he's really mired in. And it takes very fancy processing to do that. Now we're getting into very artistic processing. But I assure you that if this processing, again, neglects these various barriers that can lie across the track of the individual, the guy will be stymied. You say, well, yes, he's up to grade 4. He's a complete grade 4 release. So therefore, he should never again have any service facsimiles, ARC breaks, overs, with holes, problems, or communication trouble. Oh, you man, you got the wrong definition of release. I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I wouldn't be a bit surprised. But what you couldn't find a whole new series of banks to unrelease a person into. You're dealing with a gross product here called release. This is just a gross product, and this is a hopeful product. This is the sort of a product that solid gold is awfully nice, but all we got is this gilt. And this gilt very often turns green. And sometimes we have good gilt, and it lasts for weeks or months or even years. Got some beryllium in it, you know. It's really good shape gilt. And sometimes it turns green an hour later. And it's not gold at all. It gets verdigris. And I don't know how long a release will stay stable, because I would never say how long a release would stay stable at any line, because I have had releases before this. You see, the one thing that booby-trapped the whole of research in the field of the mind is that one could produce a temporary state of clear. Temporary. Just like nearly all of life is composed of lower-scale mockeries. Yeah, you look around at somebody's exaggerated abilities, exaggerated and fixated and become just one thing that he can do, don't you think? He's insane. But actually, the thing he is doing is an ability. Who was this old bird? Young, I think it was. Young. Now, Thetans can move objects or bust up objects. I mean, when they're way upscale, see? All he had to do was sit down near one, and it broke up. I think that was Young. And this worried the guy so that it was really what he wanted out of his studies and researches was not to have bookcases fall down, plaster crack wide open, armchairs go out splat every time he came near them. And he never achieved that. Well, actually, would it be a fate and ability gone mad, poltergeist or some such thing? So you get these upper scale abilities that any Thetan would have. They're out of control and unexplained to the individual when they occur, why he thinks he's crazy. So these lower scale harmonics include the fact that one can make something that looks just like something that ain't. And that the big booby trap. Now listen, it wasn't just a booby trap in 1950, it was also a booby trap in 523 BC on this same subject, in the same line of research. A Thetan exterior produced all the symptoms of total sanity, great, wee, marvelous, and so forth. It would last 2 minutes, 2 hours, 2 days, 2 years, but the one thing that was certain about it, it wouldn't go on. And the Buddhists called it a bodhi. And a bodhi has the same stability as any Thetan exterior would have that you made today. You can walk up to somebody, pop him out of his head with the magic words, and he will be stable for 2 seconds, 2 minutes, 2 hours, 2 days. Your guess is as good as anybody else's. But one thing is certain about it, he will key in again. Now, release, the way we're doing it now, and you mustn't just downgrade the idea of release and say it's all that unstable, because it has this benefit. Accompanied with it has been the experience of overcoming it. And that experience stands one in good stead because it has improved his ability to confront. Now, that goes further than that. A bit of erasure occurs. Modern auditing is sufficiently good that a bit of erasure occurs along with it, and the condition is desensitized. So he is more apt to be stable as a release on this grade than he was stable to make a quote clear, unquote, 1950 book style. You see? I now know the difference between me and people that were being taught to audit in 1950. My auditing differed. It differed considerably. And the difference was that when the PC looked like he was finished, why, I quit. I wasn't trying to prove something. I was willing to give the PC a win. Let me state it that way, although that's critical. I was so willing to give the PC a win that when the PC would say, "Hui gee," you know, and light up like Roman candles and so forth, I would say, "That's good. Bye. Thanks. Goodbye." And they had a tendency to remain stable for some time. Some of those people from back in the late 40s were stable 3 years afterwards, I know of. Now, what's interesting here is that we're approaching release on a gradient here, and we know what grade of release we're making. When we were, quote, clearing them in the 50s, we never knew what grade of release we were making a clear at. Do you see? But this is the thing which booby-trapped the line, was the facts of stability. Stability, how long would it last? Well, being a very thorough fellow, and being a very, very thorough research man, and having been at it for a very, very long time now, I got the idea, finally, that it must be a totality. If we were going to have something that was a near absolute in the way of clear, then we were going to have to do a near totality of erasure. And for 3 years, I worked very, very hard to find out what you totally erased. And so today we get a clear. Now, we've known for a long time that Thetan made up his own bank, but telling him so didn't get him over it. And we've just found out again that telling him so didn't get him over it, too. Even when he's almost clear, we say, "Hey, you're mocking it up." And he say, "Hey, am I mocking it up?" "Yeah, I am mocking it up." And he'll go clear. And he goes off that bottom step that isn't there, you know. And he's got to go back on and finish it up the way he should. It's got to be his combination. So once more, the making of a release and so on is very, very worthwhile. Man, man, man. Because it's on a plotted line, and the fellow has raised his confront, he's being released in a proper sequence, he's getting accustomed to things that have been ruining his life and would ruin anybody's life. Because let me assure you, once more I repeat, anything that will stop auditing would ruin somebody's life. Because auditing is pretty hard to stop. our processed drills and that sort of thing are themselves intensely valuable therapeutically. I know some people, every time they felt bad, they'd go out and do their TRs. But this achievement was bringing it up to the top of a totality of erasure. And being very thorough sort of chap, I said, all right. And the answer to it is a total erasure. And of course, you can make a total erasure of the reactive bank. Only nobody had ever done it before from the beginning of the universe on. So there are a few little tricks involved in it. It takes a little while. But that's a head-on collision with the thing. That isn't just backing out of a desensitized area and being free of that desensitized area. Man, you could plunge into a non-existent bank all you wanted to, and you wouldn't find anything there to get stuck in. So that is clear. So clear is a stable state. But clears follow the rules of life until they themselves have changed their minds concerning the rules of life. And when they do that, of course, they're OTs. Probably very, very advanced to tell you a thing like this, but I've been, of course, researching OT processes. And I find out, oddly enough, that the OT processes are the upper harmonics of just those processes, except they're not processes. That's another story. Now, wherever an auditor is auditing, there are only certain things that are going to prevent his achievement of success. There aren't 8,965 of them. There's only this little handful, this very, very small handful. And you better not go multiplying the number of things that can get in your road. Because then you're putting you in your road. And you know the hardest thing in the world for a Thetan to get around is himself. Now, the things that you cannot neglect or ignore in auditing, regardless of the grade of the individual, are communication factors, problems, particularly PTPs, notably, overts, ARC breaks, the fact a guy is getting paid some fashion or another for his aberration or service facsimiles. Those things will always get you around. And he might have gone somewhere else on the track than where he is supposed to be at. And the upper harmonic of that in OT is the guy is no longer in the room. He's gotten bored. But here are elementary things, and of those, the first four are the most vital. That is, communication problems, overts, and ARC breaks. Are you going to neglect those? You're not going to audit. What are the symptoms that a person with these things displays? Well, I'm not going to stand here and give you some long, authoritative list, because they are numerous. The indicators of these things are numerous. And they're obvious. It's something like my explaining to you that sign up there that is 1 mile long and a half mile high, painted a glaring white and lit with the totality of atomic fission and power from half the world's searchlights, with the red letters on it, C-A-T, spells cat. That's the way I feel after a while. You know, I feel like I'm just beating a dead horse, you know. It's wild. If I say, look, you cannot process somebody unless you're in communication with them. An auditor half an hour later realizes the PC hasn't answered any of the auditing questions. Goes and sees somebody, case supervisor, somebody, and says, I don't think the process is working. Process? Damn, the auditor isn't. The carrier wave of all processing is communication. So if your PC doesn't feel like talking to you, you're not going to get any place. I mean, how elementary can you get? Now, let's say we're doing a service facsimile at grade 4, and the PC isn't talking. Well, we say it can't possibly be not talking because he is a grade 0 release. Well, let's just say he wasn't released on you. It just so happens he isn't talking that day. And until you get him talking, you're not going to get any auditing done. Now, you see what I mean about the mile-long side and half a mile high painted white with the letters CAT on it in red? I mean, that's so obvious. How could I possibly ever have to tell anybody that? And yet, time and time again, I go through and I see a bunch of sections happening, and I see this PC isn't talking, and that PC isn't, and that one, and that one. I find about a third of the PCs in the room aren't talking to the auditor. It's not my hyper-sensitive, super-trained brain at work. My brain doesn't work, as a matter of fact. That's probably why we got someplace. You'll see the PC, and the PC, he should be sitting here, you see, talking to the auditor, you see. And you see the PC like this. You hear the cheery voice of the auditor, you see, saying, all right, let me have the next item, the PC. Cats. You don't hear this auditor say a thing, you know. You never hear the auditor say, what's up? You know, what's cooking, mate? Of course, the auditor would probably ask me, what are the proper words to use in a state like that? My answer, I'm afraid, would be effective words. And similarly, we're trying to list something, find the S and D or something like that, and the fellow says, well, I'll give you a few more items, but I've got to meet Maisie, you know, and so forth. We're having a bit of domestic problems, you know. We've got to go up and see the lawyer, and so forth. I'll give you a few more items for this S and D, and so forth. But really, you've got to warn me when it gets to be 1:30. And the auditor say, all right, and take the next few items out. Whoa! PC's got a PTP of such magnitude that his attention isn't in on the bank. So, of course, if his attention isn't in on the bank, how can his attention do anything? Because it's the PC's attention, not the auditor, that it does things with the bank. And this PC is saying, well, I don't want to be critical, but I have had better auditors. What the auditor doesn't realize is that PCs don't object to auditors unless they have overts on them, no matter how lousy their auditing is. You know that? And if you sit and look at a critical or nattery PC and so forth, and don't find the overt, you just got rocks in your head, that's all. Why sit there and beat yourself up? You're beating yourself up. It had nothing to do with the state of his mind. It's the state of your technology. Critical PCs have overts. And the longer you audit them without pulling the overt, why, the more you're going to get chopped up. So why chop yourself up? That's the way you commit suicide. You just keep this up, the PC eventually will shoot you or something. As far as ARC breaks are concerned, those ARC breaks that are not handled worsen. You cannot audit in the presence of an ARC break. You notice it's fairly well up the grades there, and it's pretty rugged. put it in somebody over the top of an ARC break. At first he'll protest, and then he's liable to scream, and then he raises a fuss, and then he does this, and he finally finds out that isn't getting him any place, and he gets sort of tired, and he begins to feel a little bit sad, and he gets sadder and sadder and sadder. You'll see him walking around after a session, and he looks like Ophelia or whatever he wants in that comic section that was written up the Avon some years ago. You know, she looked very sad. Although she was singing. I will say this, that these things have not been pointed out since the gradation chart came out. But they are what they are, and they can occur. And a person who is released at one of these grades is normally much less apt to have this happen. But get that, it's much less apt to have this happen. You could key him back in so it'll happen. You can throw somebody out of communication, kick him in the teeth a few times, and he won't talk to you. I guarantee it. I don't care what grade of release he is. I'd hate to do it to a clear OT, probably something horrible would happen to you. But the point is that these things occur until somebody changes his agreements on life clear up at the level of OT. Now, I hope I've taught you something about a gradation chart. And I hope I've taught you something about the road out. You are very rich in having processes which on a broad general basis handle these various conditions and make grade releases with some thoroughness. You're very rich in this. But that doesn't mean that you won't get ARC broke with yourself as the auditor doing grade 7. It's interesting that the bulk of, if not all, the clears to date are good auditors. Aren't they all St. Hill? Of course, there isn't one single fast route clear yet, which is very interesting. So if you want a good auditor at grade 6 and 7, why, become one. An interesting commentary on this. But you are dealing with the primary things which barred living. And when I found out that if they were barring auditing, they were also barring living, and therefore were the route for auditing, and then when plotted out did make rapid releases, you've got the genesis of this gradation chart. Possibly you hadn't realized that before. Quite a remarkable piece of stuff. There frankly isn't anything else that can happen to anybody that would bar the road out. You say, well, he could get killed. Well, not necessarily. That wouldn't bar the road out, because he'd pick up another body and you'd get him sooner or later. But as far as auditing is concerned, those are the things that happen to people. And so therefore they are the grades of release. Now there are interim release points on this chart that you probably are neglecting. And you're saying because a person goes free needle at grade 0, he has then gone a grade 0 release. See? Now we're getting into dicey and dangerous stuff. But he runs in communication processes at grade 0 and has gone floppy needle. And you say, straight away, we're all finished. And now he's a grade 0, and we don't have to do anything else with grade 0. I want to call to your attention that there's a thing over here called valence processes. What the hell were they? Well, they're covered in HCLBs. Very legitimate address. That'd make a very thorough grade 0 release. Right now you're skipping it. These were the elementary communication processes. Well, there were some more complex communication processes for grade 1. Much more complex communication processes, all of which have been noted down. Followed by locational processes to make a grade of release. Here was the original plot. Now, when we did it 2, we had the CCHs. how the devil you could overrun the CCHs so easily that people are tend to just pull off that one and just drop it right out of the lineup and not have any more to do with it. Thank you. Because, of course, a person is off a meter while doing the CCHs, so therefore you cannot tell when he goes prenatal. But here also were ARC processes, and there were lots of those. And then there was case remedies fitted in there. That whole book of case remedies fitted in there. You can go release on a lot of those, too. Now, here was auditing by list and overt justifications and so forth at 3. Here were solutions on physical problems, and here was dating on a meter. That just dropped out of the lineup complete. I know it has. And then we had cause and effect processes, which are quite remarkable, and R4H and effort processing and rising scale processes. Now, here was where whole track engrams and secondaries and so forth fit with the power process.